If you got your Bibles, John chapter number 2. And I'm just going to read three verses and preach on a little thought tonight. And the third day, there was a marriage in Cana of Galilee. By the way, that's one of the places we're going to Israel. And you folks that are going to Israel that's married and couples that are there, if you want to, you'll be able to renew your vows there at Cana of Galilee. We've done that in the past, and we'll be doing it again this time. And the mother of Jesus was there, and both Jesus was called and his disciples to the marriage. I want you to notice now our thought tonight. And when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Two phrases that I'm interested in tonight. When they wanted wine, they had no wine. This message, young preachers, is not going to be an expository nor even an exegesis type of message. It is a subject message. And as I get into it, you'll see that. I'm going to be preaching on this subject tonight. And it'll be when I get to the end when I really hit this. But I want to preach on this subject. When the wine runs out. That's on my mind tonight. When the wine runs out. Now, there'll be three areas that I'll be dealing with in our subject tonight. And I want to say this, I will be dealing with wine, and with some that would be a point of contention. Amen. Because when your mind goes to that issue, you always think a certain thought. I'm going to deal with this subject, and I would ask you as I deal with it, and I will mention that very briefly, at least have enough respect for how I approach it. Amen. And if you say, Preacher Smith, I don't see it like that, I'm going to approach it in another way. Well, have at it. But I'm preaching tonight. Amen. It could be a tedious thing if I get into all the ramifications of that. And by the way, I can give you all the nuances and all the words and all the everything that goes in with that verse of Scripture. And I'm not here to fascinate you or even illuminate you. I'm here to preach the word to you. But here's how I am going to approach it tonight. I'm going to approach it. I'm getting ready to preach. I'm telling y'all I am. I'm approaching it in three different ways. I'm going to deal with the symbolism of wine. I know it was real wine, but I want to deal with the symbolism of wine. Secondly, I'm going to deal with the sadness of want in the soul. And then I'm going to finish up with the simplicity of the work of our Savior. So to get right in it, let's deal first of all, and I'll hurry, but I want to really get this to you, on the symbolism of this word. By the way, this particular word for wine is the New Testament word onyx. It is synonymous or close to that Old Testament word yin. You can take that word and use several nuances if you would like to. But I'm going to give you four, though there's more, symbolic uses of this word, and then try to tell you where the one, which one fits the best. Is that all right? I feel I'm going somewhere, and it may take me a moment to get there. So if you want to turn your Bible, you can. I don't have them posted up here. I'd almost like to. But you can turn your Bible. I'll give you these four. We're talking to Chad. I didn't know if you heard the text. When the wine runs out. So make sure you're in on it, okay? I know you was back in the back doing something. First of all, if you want to look, you can, and I'd ask you to. Matthew chapter 26 is the first one I want you to see in verse 27 and 28. If you don't want to turn, just listen to me. I'll read it. And they took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, drink you all of it, for this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. This was the Lord Jesus instituting the Lord's Supper or communion. And this wine in this cup was emblematic or symbolized the blood of Jesus. Amen. Would you say amen right there? Amen. I'm going somewhere. Did I tell you, Lois, I was going somewhere? It may take me 35 minutes to get there, but I'll get there. Now, I want y'all to know something. That wine that was in that cup, that new wine, that fruit of the vine, did not contain the blood. He was standing there, and the blood was running in his veins. So that wasn't his blood. It was symbolic of his blood. See, there are some movements, some churches that believe in what is known as transubstantiation. In other words, when you take the communion cup, that wine literally turns into the blood of Christ. That's not scriptural. He died once for our sin. You don't have to confess your sin to some priest and have him drink a communion for him, because he cannot drink the sacrifice for you. Nor does it mean consubstantiation. That's a little different word. The Catholic Church believes in transubstantiation. The Lutheran Church and Episcopal churches believe in consubstantiation. One of them means that cup literally turns in to the blood. And the other one believes that he's present in the symbols. Ladies and gentlemen, Christ died once for sin. And the Lord's Supper is a memorial feast. And that cup is a picture of his blood that was shed for you. And that bread is a picture of the body that was broken for you. Somebody help me preach. Let me go secondly and quickly. Jeremiah 51, there's another word for wine in the Bible. It says, Babylon had been a golden cup in the Lord's hand. that made all the earth drunken. The nations have drunken of her wine. Therefore, they are mad. A companion verse is in Revelation 14, 8. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she had made the nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. In this particular passage, it's talking about wickedness. Wine is symbolic of the wickedness of Babylon that has been pushed to the nations. Y'all still with me? Did I say I was going somewhere? I'm hurrying. Thirdly, still in Revelation 14 and verse 9, and the angel followed them, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast and his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall be drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of his holy angels and the presence of the Lamb. This particular emblematic, symbolic picture, if I'm right, friends, is talking about the wrath of Almighty God when you speak of the wine. Oh, did I say I was going somewhere? Then fourthly, this is what I think is the appropriate application for John chapter number 2, Brother Sean. And it's found in Psalm 114, or 104, excuse me. Verses 13 through 15. He waters the hills from his chambers, and the earth is satisfied with the fruit of thy works. He causes the grass to grow for the cattle, and the herb for the service of man, that he may bring forth food out of the earth, and wine that maketh glad the heart of man, and oil to make his face to shine, and bread which strengthens a man's heart. How many of y'all would agree with me? I think it's pretty easy to see. The proper application to this passage is the fourth one. They wasn't at a funeral. They were at a celebration. Did I say I was going somewhere, Ray? They were at a wedding. And by the way, they were there celebrating until somebody said, there ain't no wine. There ain't no wine. The wine had now run out. Lance, did I say I was going somewhere? I am. I will say this in regards to wine, and I may make a few comments. If you look at the ruler in verse 8 and 9, Chad, he was also the governor or the overseer of this thing. Now, when they brought him the wine and he took a drink, I know he wasn't drunk. You say, why you know he wasn't drunk? Because he knew the difference between good wine and bad wine. Somebody help me preach. Amen anyhow. By the way, he gave a hypothetical. He said, there's a lot of people, you bring that good wine, they drink it, and then they save that bad or worse wine at the last. And they're well drunk. How many of y'all know what well drunk means? Skunk drunk. Now he's teaching Chad in a hypothetical. You do know that. Now, y'all still with me? That word worse there means of less value. Now, if you notice something in verse number 10, it says, not just good wine, Brother Ray, it says, the good wine. That word the is a definite article. Come on, help me, somebody. He said, what I'm prepared and what Jesus prepared was not a common wine. Because it didn't come from a bad vine, it came from a good vine. And somewhere in the Bible, somebody help me, I'm going somewhere. He said, I am the true vine. I say to you, you ever get him in you, and his joy in you, and his gladness in you, you'll find out what good wine is all about. Amen. Amen.
Glory to God.
And then it's, man, I'm in some teaching tonight, ain't I? Oh, I feel like I am, Sean. I feel like I'm there. In verse number 9, it said, he tasted of the water that was made wine. I like that word made. How many like that word made? Because it goes back into creation. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God, and the same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him. Somebody help me preach. And without him was nothing made that was made. So what I'm trying to say, this is not a common wine. It's the good wine. Because it came from a true vine. May I say, it did not, it's not to be thought of out of a category of any other wine. It did not come from a cabinet where they got the other ones. I don't even know if y'all's with me or not. I think some of you are up here at Pluto. You ought to come down here with me. It's real nice here. It doesn't come from sources of other wine. It's not contaminated as other wine is contaminated. Hello? You remember back in the old days they had what they called the temperance movement. How many remember that? That's when they shut down the distilleries and the wine. And by the way, somebody might say, well, I drink a little, but I don't. I use a little, but I don't abuse it. Well, it's going to catch up to you. But you do with this message what you want. Hello. But I'm going to go somewhere here. That word temperate. It's mentioned four times in the Bible. You do know that, don't you? And it's mentioned once. Boy, I'm enjoying preaching. It is mentioned once in Galatians in a series of things. And that word's mentioned. Chad, I'm testing you, and you test me. It's never mentioned. That word in Galatians is never mentioned along something that is evil. The word temperance. What's quiet in here? Have I lost y'all? It's never mentioned with that which is evil. It's actually mentioned with that which is godly or moral. Now let me say this to you. Do you get temporarily angry? Do you temporarily murder somebody? No, you don't. Somebody help me preach. I want y'all to know this. This is not my message. This is the introduction. Some of you are saying, dear God, you better hurry. I want you to know I studied the Old Testament and I studied the New Testament, and I want all y'all to know this, that God wants you to stay away from liquor. I studied them both. You said, well, is there any positive connotation toward liquor in the Bible or wine in the Bible? Yeah. Over in the epistles, it'll say a little wine for the stomach's sake. And they did use some for the medicinal part of man, but it was, there was always stipulations. Hello. I don't believe you ought to drink wine. I don't believe you ought to smoke dope. I don't believe you ought to use any of it.
Amen. Amen. Good preaching.
But that actually is not the message. Here's the message. Probably some of you are thinking, you've took a long time to get there. Let's look at the second thing, Chad. I see the symbolism, don't you, brother? Somebody said, well, was that intoxicating wine or not? I do not know because there's none left. But I say no. Amen. Absolutely not.
Absolutely. Amen.
But I will tell you, I'll know what it's like because I'm going to drink it new in the kingdom of God. And I don't think he would let anything crap be up there.
Amen.
Well, glory to God, I'm busting bottles and everything else up here tonight. Number two, y'all having a good time yet?
Amen.
You say, you better hurry. I'm hurrying. This is the message, Nancy, actually. I see the sadness of want in the soul. They said they had no wine. And I told you that wine was symbolic in this passage of joy and gladness. Y'all with me? That want, that word want's real wonderful word. It's not associated with a desire. If that's what you think, no, sir. That's not what the word want means. I'll prove it to you if you want me to. Remember when the prodigal son, how many remember that old boy? Went out and wasted everything he had, Ray. And the Bible said after he wasted everything, he said that he was in what? Want. Remember the rich young ruler when he come to Christ? And he was asking him about salvation. And asking him. And the Lord looked at him, Chad, and said, there's one thing thou likest, same word, the wine run out. He liked it. He wanted it. By the way, if you're a sinner here tonight, the Bible said, for all have sinned, somebody help me, and come short, or they run out. They have no wine. They have no joy. They come short of the glory of God.
Yeah.
Here's the preaching. Here's the message. Too many of us are building our lives on the temporal.
Amen.
And not building our lives on the eternal.
Amen.
And I say that when you do that, the wine
Amen.
Will run out.
Amen.
There's too many of us. All we think about is something temporal.
Right.
I want you to know, some of you live that kind of life, there'll be a day when it all runs out and you'll be empty of joy and empty of pleasure and empty of God. When the right wine runs out, I'm going, I tell you, I know I'm going to be done by 6:30. Oh, I'm in it. I'm kidding. Let me give you 3 or 4 things under this. I'm talking about the wine of social status. You know, this world today, it seems like people just want to be somebody. Come on, help me. You know, there's a close difference between a hero and a zero. By the way, that kind of mindset might take you high, but it end up bringing you low. You say, I want to be a part of the social elite in Tays Valley. Really? That's going to get you far. And then the wine of success. Fixated with it. We don't even know what the word means anymore. It's more than a secondary job and a secondary success. I'll tell you what real success is, to know you have Jesus and be saved by Jesus and have abundant, joyful life in Jesus and live a life that's not dependent on the wine of this world, but it's dependent on the joy that comes from God. When the wine runs out. I'm still preaching. Then the wine of sinful pleasure. I'm talking about the wine of adultery. The wine of fornication. I'm talking about the wine of pornography. I'm talking about the wine of drunkenness and dope using. It will run out. It'll leave you empty. Hello. How about the wine of studious pursuit? To sell your soul to that. I was thinking, did I say I'm about done? Y'all stay with me. I was thinking some more. I was thinking about some secular things. How many do you recognize the name Stephen Foster? Sure you do. You probably could tell all of us. He was a folklore singer. He, I think, was the one that wrote Swami River. How many remember him? You remember him? No? God bless you anyhow. He died drunken at the age of 38. How about Hank Williams, Sr.? When the day before he died, Chad, he was singing. And after he went off the stage, I don't know if you youngins know this, but Minnie Pearl, she's the person that had those price tags hooked to her. I think that's the one. If I'm wrong on that, y'all tell me. Hank Williams, Senior, kids, wrote songs like this, How Can You Refuse Him Now? Pretty good song. And he wrote this song, I Saw the Light, a little less deep, but still had some spiritual thought to it. He went to many after his finishing the concert. And here's what he said to her. Many, I don't think there's any light at all. And one day later, he died in the back seat of his car. You said, what happened to him? The wine run out. Am I a preacher? Oh, we could go to the field of literature. Many of you have studied Longfellow and Shakespeare and Frost. I'm sure you've probably heard of a man named Ernest Hemingway. Haven't you? In 1954, he won the Nobel Prize for literature. He was born in 1899 and died in 1961. Carlos Baker, I'm sure you've heard of him, Lois, wrote a biography on Hemingway. And he talked about Hemingway coming down the steps of his house in a beautiful day, down into the common area, and then walked down, was going to go down into the basement where his guns were. Got the key there at the kitchen. Went down and got the gun. A double barrel shotgun. And went out to the 5x7 foyer. And put the stock down on the ground. And the barrel's right here. And push the buttons. And you know the rest. I want you to know this area of gladness is eating up our teenagers. You have no idea how many teenagers that deal with depression and sadness when their life ought to be joy. It is an epidemic thing in the college campuses. You that went there even recently know it's such an epidemic thing and a mess. There's so much sadness there. It's even endemic in the middle-aged people. People that do what they say, and I ain't being mean, but I'm just telling it like it is. Well, I'm having a mid-age crisis. Well, your mid-age crisis cost your home. Your mid-age crisis has left your children a mess. Your mid-age crisis has not done anybody any good but you, for because they're just pleasure and seeing for a season. But I tell you, the wine will run out. I am closing. Y'all okay? Everybody all right? Then lastly, I'm going to have me a sandwich after this. Amen. Lastly, I want to talk about the simplicity of the work of Christ. Amen. His mom was there. When they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus said to them, they have no wine. But I'll tell you what she did. She pointed them to the right source. You said, preacher, how in the world can I get my gladness back? My joy back. My closest back. Three little things there. It's not deep. I think first of all, you need to tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Then here's what you got to do. Words don't seem deep, but it's good. It's good. You need to trust him with it. And then after you've done that, here's what you got to do. You got to turn it all over to him. Been going through some dark times. Been going through some hard times. Are you weary? Are you heavy laden? Or heavy hearted? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you grieving over joys departed? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He is a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Do the tears flow down your cheeks unbidden? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Have you sins that to men's eyes are hidden? Tell it to Jesus alone. Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend.
Yes, sir.
That's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. Let me ask you, do you fear the gathering clouds of sorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. Are you anxious? What shall happen tomorrow? Tell it to Jesus. Tell it to Jesus. He's a friend that's well known. You have no other such a friend or brother. Tell it to Jesus. If you're here this evening, say, Preacher Smith, I'm saved, but I'm hurting. I tell you, come and tell it to Jesus. And if you're here lost, you've come short of the glory of God, you're hellbound, all you got to do is come up here and repent of your sin and tell it to Jesus. And the red blood of Christ will wash you from all sin. Just tell it to Jesus. Stand with me.